What are your thoughts? Do you feel these cell phone towers are safe or related type of towers?
Well, again, I'm not a scientist, so I'm not going to weigh in on that, so I have to rely on the experts. But, you know, you have to remember that cell phone frequencies are very similar to TV frequencies. So it's not like it's been, it's not a new thing in terms of the frequencies. And so what has to be monitored is the energy levels. And there's some safety buffer zones that are built into any regulations that we have. And very similar to what they have in other countries, too.
Pam Colleen, here we go again. Here's another subject that you've been warning about, and they're taking action. Cell phone towers.
Mm-hmm.
It's in every paper this morning, in every newscast. Ottawa's cracking down. Mm-hmm. They sense there's a problem.
And we've had several guests on the show, Andy, that have said, we're not against this technology. We just want to make sure it's safe technology. Because the science isn't really there to back it up to say that it's safe. So let's just take some precautions, and this is a good step in the right direction.
Folks, we're going to talk about that in our second half hour of the health segment this morning. It is Thursday morning. It is just after 10 o'clock, and that means Pam Colleen is in the house, and she always rocks the boat. Pam, we have a guest this morning who's so special, I almost feel like I need to get down on one knee. I think of the phrase, bow at the feet of the master, because not only is he a noted world-renowned scientist, Dr. Fred Kumerow. He is a professor emeritus. He retired 20 years ago, but he didn't get the memo about you're supposed to put your feet up. He's still working, and he is, I'm sorry, I say this respectfully, he is how old?
He's 99 years young.
99?
Yes, Andy.
And he's 99. Still working.
And he's writing a paper right now for Harvard. There was a tribute to him. I just was sent it before I came to the studio this morning. It was it's a publication called World Nutrition, and they have a tribute to his work. It's called Fred Kumerow, the man who knew about trans fats. So he's getting some recognition. He always has had recognition, but now even more so, because I think people realize that the fact that these trans fats got on the marketplace was a huge mistake.
Dr. Kumerow, it is such an honor to welcome you to London, Ontario, Canada. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, I'm glad to.
Are you really 99?
Yes.
How does it feel to be 99, Doctor? Yeah, I mean, let's face it, all the critics who have been saying nasty things about you and wish that you would go away, I think you're living this long just to spite them.
Oh, that's true.
But you've been warning the scientific community, you've been warning consumers now since the 1950s about the problems, the health consequences of these trans fats. Can you maybe just start us off on your journey and tell us what happened?
Well, why don't you ask me the questions that you want me to answer?
Okay, Dr. Kumerow, let's look at the last 50 years of your life. You have been warning people about what they're putting in their mouth. Simplify it. What has your message been?
To not eat trans fat. To leave the trans fat out of the diet.
Okay, I never want to assume that people know what trans fats are. What are trans fats?
During the hydrogenation of soybean oil, the positions on the fatty acid of linoleic and linoleic acids are changed by this hydrogenation process so that you cannot make any prostacyclin. And prostacyclin is needed to keep the blood flowing. It's just as simple as that.
So over the last several decades, as we've seen a rise in chronic disease, including heart disease, your specialty has been in studying the field of heart disease. What have we seen happen over the last 5 or 6 decades since we've been increasing our consumption of these trans fats?
The amount of death has been increasing every decade since 1910, when it was first put in the diet. And you can see that by getting the information from CDC, that is the Center of Disease Control. Every decade, the amount of heart disease had been increasing until 1968, when I was on a committee of the Heart Association, and I called attention to that by the medical director, Dr. Campbell Moses. And because I was on this committee, I was able to get the composition of the margarines at that time. And he sent the person at the Procter & Gamble company and sent me the composition of those eight margarines that were on the market at the time, and they all contain more than 50%, 40, they averaged out 44%. And we have a study published in Scandinavian Cardiovascular Journal that showed that when you have that kind of percentage of trans fatty acids in your blood, you'll make no prostacyclin. So those people that were eating that kind of fat had not been able to generate any prostacyclin in their blood, and their blood clotted.
Doctor, let me ask you this. Are we finally getting the message? I look at Bloomberg in New York. I look at other people. Are we finally getting the message that there are different kinds of fats? We need animal fats, but it's the trans fats that have been killing us.
That's true.
But this happened simply because of a change that was going on in our diet. The invention of hydrogenation certainly started this process. But while we've been moving away from using animal fats, these shelf-stable vegetable fats were more profitable and more shelf-stable. So we've moved towards these industrial fats, and that has been the real shift in our diet that has caused or contributed to so many of the health problems we see today, including heart disease. Is that
That's
not correct?
True. Mm-hmm. Not only heart disease, cancer too.
Mm-hmm. But our body, what happens when we eat these trans fats? Our body essentially doesn't recognize them. Is that a good way to put it?
Yes, I that's okay. You say that.
But you've been asking for the FDA in the United States for an outright ban on these trans fats. And have they been listening to your warnings?
Well, I asked for a ban 3 years ago. And they paid no attention to it until an attorney called me and asked if I had any answers from the FDA, and I said no. He said, well, they were supposed to answer you. That was the law. Do you mind if I help you? And I said no at all. He could just help me, and he did. He did a terrific job, writing to the FDA why it should be banned. And, of course, the FDA has said in November, I think that was November 17th, that they would consider having it banned, but they would give the industry 60 days to answer their request. And then the industry asked for another 60 days, and they granted that too. So by March 7th, we should know whether the trans fatty acids will be banned or not.
Let me try to summarize, Doctor, because we only have about 5 minutes left. I want to summarize what's at the heart of what you've been saying that we've been ignoring for five decades. You have come to the controversial conclusion that the saturated fat in butter, cheese, and meats does not contribute to the clogging of arteries. Now, if you were to survey every doctor in the United States and Canada, what fraction, what percent of them would now agree with you?
Very small number yet.
Yeah, it's a slow process to get the truth out, Andy. Because we've been so brainwashed to believe that animal fats and, you know, the foods like red meat, butter, eggs have joined the dark side, but they've never joined the dark side. They've never been bad for us.
Doctor, you have instant credibility with our audience, not because of your degrees, but because you're almost 100 years old. What did you have for breakfast this morning?
An egg.
Do you eat eggs every day almost, or several times a week?
Every day. I eat an egg every day. And the reason for that is your liver needs eight essential amino acids, and they're only present in animal food products. They're not present in either cereals or beans in the correct amount.
Would you say that an egg is God's most perfect food?
It's the most perfect food. It's the food that has almost the same composition as human milk.
Okay, so then if the president of McDonald's were listening, I wonder what you would say to him about the fact that McDonald's has more or less demonized egg yolks and is now more or less pushing them off their menu.
Egg yolks contain vitamins and minerals, trace minerals that are needed to make 1,000 enzymes that govern what your body does. And if you don't eat all of the amino acids, you're not going to make the enzymes completely.
That's right. And you also encourage people to eat more red meat as well. Of course, whole foods, your whole foods like fruits and vegetables, but red meat has had a bad rap for many years now as well, which is quite unfortunate.
The red meats, all animal food products contain all of the amino acids, and no other food does that. And unfortunately, the American Heart Association has never recognized that we need all of the essential amino acids.
Doctor, when is the last time you ate anything deep fried?
Very little. It's a long time. I haven't eaten any commercial fried fruit at all.
When's the last time you had margarine?
I never had margarine in a diet. I always use butter.
Dr. Kumaro, you're 99. What is your game plan? You're still working. You're still working on a paper for Harvard. How long do you intend to live, sir?
Well, as long as nobody knows how long he's going to live, so I can't predict that. But I'm in pretty good health yet.
But you're still running a lab and writing scientific articles as well.
And I exercise every day. And I eat properly.
Okay, we have about 2 minutes left. I want to give it to you to just put this all in a little velvet-covered box, put a little bow on it, give us your best advice in 2 minutes about nutrition, what's healthy, what's not.
It's healthy to eat all of the products that are coming from animal food products, like cheese, fish, beef, pork, the chicken. It's all healthy to eat those products. And as long as you do that, and along with it, eat vegetables and fruit, because they provide antioxidants, which your liver needs to keep the cholesterol in the liver not being oxidized.
And what is the biggest fat lie that we have been told by governments and the food industry?
That the trans fatty acid in the animal food products cause heart disease, too. But that's not true. They're made differently. The structure of the fatty acid in animal products is not the same as the structure of the fatty acid in hydrogenated fat.
Before we let you go, we asked you what you had for breakfast. What are you having for lunch?
I'll have for lunch a piece of meat. Hopefully, I've invited some people in, and we're going to have ribeye steak this noon, along with some vegetable and fruit.
Lovely. And you're having a Canadian crew come down and do a documentary featuring some of your work, I hear.
Yes.
That's great. That's fantastic. So we'll be seeing more of you in the media then. Because the New York Times and the Chicago Tribune have been covering your story as well, so it's about time that this information is getting more widespread. So congratulations to you.
The doctor, Johnny Carson, told the joke about the hypochondriac, and when they asked him what he wanted on his tombstone, he said, I told you I was sick. Let me ask you, I know you're going to live to be 120. What will you be putting on your tombstone?
Well, I don't believe I'm going to live to be 120.
Okay, let's make it 118. What would you like on your tombstone?
To put on my tombstone?
Yeah, have another ribeye steak. Have another.
That's okay.
Have bacon and eggs for breakfast.
Yeah.
Don't believe the low fat lie. Don't believe what they say about cholesterol. Something like that.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, The cholesterol idea is still uppermost in most physicians' mind.
Okay, so let me give you, we have 30 seconds left, cholesterol. What's the big lie about cholesterol?
That it causes heart disease.
So this
is not true.
Yeah, there's no connection between
lipids in the diet rather than cholesterol that are responsible for heart failure and stroke. And they are the trans fatty acids and oxidized fat.
And that's what people are getting a lot of those things from, basically just the processed food industry in general. Those foods
right.
in the inner aisles of a grocery store.
It's got both trans fatty acids, and with some, and also oxidized fats and others, because the polyunsaturated fats are very sensitive to oxidation.
Doctor, I wish we had more time. Sometime I'd love to talk to you and just chat about the news and your life and the changes you have seen. You're almost 100 years old. What would you say, as you look back, was the biggest single news event in your life of almost 100 years?
Is to eat correctly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but in the news, think John Kennedy's assassination, all the other big news stories you've seen, all the inventions you've seen, what was the biggest single news event in your life?
Well, I would say that I'm still eating like I should.
I call it the multi-trillion dollar lie, Andy.
What?
The multi-trillion dollar lie, how we've been deceived about the animal fats and duped on the trans fats.
Doctor, it's a true honor to speak to someone like yourself, 99 years old.
I'll be 100 in October.
October.
Oh.
Well, we should have you back on for a birthday celebration.
Okay, let's plan the party now. When you turn 100, we'll call you back, okay? Thank you, Doctor. Really appreciate your time. Unbelievable how with it he is at 90.
You see how dedicated? He's passionate. He's just like a dog to a bone. He's not going to give up on this subject.
Okay, let's summarize this. His mm-hmm. three key points that mm-hmm. he's dedicated his life to. All right.
Well, he's been for decades now seeing that this transition in our diet to go from natural healthy fats to these industrial fats. He has been warning us for years about the negative health consequences of this transition in our diet, and he's been right. But, you see, these vegetable oils are shelf-stable, they're more profitable, and the food industry has a lot of power. They have a lot of lobby power. So the government has been listening to the lobbyists, unfortunately, and now I think that the tide is turning, though. I don't think that they have a choice. They have to get rid of these trans fats from our grocery store shelves, and consumers need to be more savvy.
We're out of time, Pam. We have to run a 10:30 news update when we come back. Cell phone towers. We have them in London. It has driven people out of this city. You've heard us talk to an airline pilot who had to leave her home in White Oaks because of a cell phone tower there. We're going to talk about towers. The government is now cracking down. We'll talk about it in just a moment right here on London Today on News Talk 1290 CJBK. 10:38 now. I want you to use your... go to your mental Rolodex, folks. Think of the worst killer you can think of. Paul Bernardo... Charles Manson, just any names that come to mind, Clifford Olson, think crime, think bad guys that the government is after. And the name, of course, Michael Schmidt. Michael who? Michael Schmidt. The government's obsessed with taking him down. So what did he do? He milked cows, and he sold the milk.
Well, he didn't technically sell the milk.
And he tried to sell the milk and got in trouble for selling. I mean, that's what he's done, Pam. He's milked cows.
He's providing real food.
And he's marketing the milk.
Yeah, to customers who want this food. You know, families
there must
who
be
want
more.
This.
There
no,
must be more.
There's no more.
There
I
must
mean, be. This is a law. This action upon Michael and his farm is basically based upon a law that is several decades old. It's got to be updated. It's got to be renewed.
The law is you can't sell raw milk.
Exactly.
Unpasteurized milk. The milk that I was raised on.
Right. And the farmers, the vast majority of the farmers that are producing milk, of course, they drink their own raw milk.
And I was raised on raw milk. I grew to be 6'3". I've only missed 2 or 3 days in the last 10 years. The definition of good health. And he can't sell a product which is sold in California. You can go to the store.
You can go to the grocery store in California. You can buy raw milk off the shelf. You have a choice. If you, as a consumer, if you want pasteurized milk, you have the entitlement to buy pasteurized milk. But if you want farm fresh raw milk, it's also there on the shelf.
And what does Queen Elizabeth put in her Kellogg's cornflakes in the morning?
She drinks raw milk.
Raw
the queen
milk.
Drinks, yeah. She drinks raw milk. Prince Harry, Prince William, they were all raised on raw milk.
I don't get it. Michael Schmidt, they keep dragging him into court. They took him to court again yesterday. We want to find out how it went. Michael Schmidt, how are you this morning?
Well, I definitely love it. Love it more to be on the farm than in the courtroom, I can tell you that.
I hear it was a pretty popular place to be yesterday.
Oh, yeah. It was. I mean, it was crazy because the snowstorm in Toronto, and still we had over 100 people attending the court proceedings.
I'm glad to hear that, because we had email from a number of our listeners who knew about the court case.
Yeah.
And got in the car and started driving, and then listened to the radio and heard how horrible the conditions were on the 401, and had to turn back. But Michael, take us through basically what happened yesterday in court.
Okay, yesterday was the hearing in front of the Appeals Court of Ontario, which only 5% of the cases get leave to appeal. So it was quite an how shall I say that? Our case was a good case for the appeals court to be heard, okay? What was interesting for me is to learn how actually the issues get narrowed down. And as more they get narrowed down and the complexity gets put aside, as more ridiculous the arguments get. So the argument yesterday, for example, with the Crown attorney was that the danger is lurking there, and we're just waiting for an epidemic breakout, because the people who drink raw milk infect others, and there's overwhelming evidence that everybody. Raw milk is a serious health hazard in Ontario.
Do these people not know that we have refrigeration now when before we did not? Do they not know that we have accurate testing equipment to test the cows to see if they have infection? I mean, do they not know that we're in the year 2014? This is what I can't understand. How they cannot advance?
It is a very simplistic approach, a very simple argument brought forward in order to stir the fear, and in order to justify that the government has total control over our food supply, and the ridiculous thing is that government can't even guarantee a safe food supply.
Well, Michael, you know, this thing should outrage people on so many levels. If they couldn't give a flip about raw milk or pasteurized milk, the money that has been spent trying to take you, a dairy farmer, down. Do you have any idea? Would you do me a favor? Just describe the day they came to your farm to take you down, that unbelievable, infamous day with all those resources, all those people, and all those threats.
And those guns.
Well, it was November, 6.5 years ago. They blocked suddenly our roadway. Police cars blocked our roadway. And then they flooded the farm with armed officers, all in their camouflage, with guns on their side, securing all the buildings, and holding us for 7 hours in the kitchen. In the meantime, they ransacked the entire farm.
It is unbelievable. Do you have any idea what they have spent trying to take you down, Michael?
I have no idea, and they wouldn't give us. We went to Freedom of Information. They wouldn't give us the information.
Who's after you, Michael? Who specifically? We want to know. I mean, it was Dalton McGuinty. You got your little meeting with him. He admitted it. He doesn't know flip about the issue. Who is it now? Is it Deb Matthews, the health minister? Who is it?
No, I think it is just because the thing is in the court, in the courts now, and it keeps moving up to the next level. So now it's the Attorney General. So the government of Ontario, who tries to, with everything, with all their resources, to prevent that any kind of changes can happen in the law.
Okay, we only have a couple moments left. I wish we could do the whole half hour, but we have another important issue, which is breaking today, breaking news stories. So many people are starting to realize a lot of the things that Pam Colleen has been saying are coming home to roost, and the cell phone towers is one. We're going to get to that in just a moment. But Michael, if you had 1 minute to make the argument to the court under the umbrella of, okay, if you don't like the idea of selling raw milk, just open your eyes and look at who's doing it. Pam, who's doing it? California.
California. I mean, in over 20 states in the United States, you can buy raw milk.
And how many bodies are there on the side
There's
of
no
that?
Dead bodies, Andy. There's no dead bodies. You have to look at the history of raw milk to see what went wrong 100 years ago. We can control these things today.
Michael?
It is all of Europe basically has legal raw milk. You get it in dispenser machines, in schools, and everywhere. on the side of the road. I was in Italy, got the milk out of a dispenser machine. Instead of Coke, you get real milk out of there.
Okay, so just before we let you go, what happens now, Michael? Do you just hurry up and wait?
We just wait now until the decision comes down. The interesting thing I just wanted to say is that this battle is now exactly 20 years old. In 1994, it started. We had three different governments. We had five premiers. We had 10 minister of agriculture and food. We had 11 minister of health. We had three popes. We had three presidents of the United States. 260,000 people died in these 20 years from smoking, which is legal. And we had no one killed from raw milk.
And we also see an increase in demand for people who want this farm fresh raw milk as well. So the more publicity that gets out there on raw milk, the more people want it because they start realizing the health benefits.
If you were to write a book about all of this, what would it be called? What's a title that's more appropriate in than The World Has Gone Nuts?
Well, I don't know, of milk music, of manure milk and music or something like that.
Yes. Michael, I wish I had more time. Keep up the good fight, my friend.
Thanks.
Okay. Take care, Michael.
Terrific. Dairy farmer near Owen Sound, they spent 20 years trying to take him down.
20 years. It's called the Milk War, yeah. There was a documentary made about it called The Milk War, actually.
It is insanity.
Yeah.
Okay, now, the things we should have, like raw milk, we don't. The things we do have are killing us, like cell phone towers. The government's finally got the message. They're cracking down. We'll talk about it with Frank Clegg, the former president of Microsoft Canada, in just a moment, right here on London Today on News Talk 1290 CJBK.
What are your thoughts? Do you feel these cell phone towers are safe or related type of towers?
Well, again, I'm not a scientist, so I'm not going to weigh in on that, so I have to rely on the experts. But, you know, you have to remember that cell phone frequencies are very similar to TV frequencies. So it's not like it's not a new thing in terms of the frequencies. And so what has to be monitored is the energy levels. And there's some safety buffer zones that are built into any regulations that we have. And very similar to what they have in other countries, too.
I thought first thing this morning, 3 o'clock this morning when I got in, I thought Pam Colleen will be doing the Lotto 649 happy dance about these headlines. My goodness, check them out this morning. Ottawa to tighten rules on cell towers. No new cell phone towers without consultation, Ottawa says. Locals to have say on cell phone towers. Pam, you've been saying this for how many years?
Well, I'm not the one saying it. I'm learning from people like Magda Havas and others who've been out there warning people about this new technology. What's it going to do to us? I was talking to somebody once who, back in the 30s or 40s when we started using telephones, back then they were worried about having a telephone up against your ears. So we've been questioning these new technologies for decades now, but they keep advancing. They keep putting it out there, and we become guinea pigs. What are the effects of all of this electrosmog?
We have had an airline pilot from London who's sort of become our go-to person on this, Melissa Chalmers, who had to move out of her apartment in White Oaks, had to give up her career because of cell phone magnetic radiation. Mm-hmm. She moved to Grand Bend. They put up a tower there, moved to Port Franks. Now they've put up a tower there. She's on the run. And now the federal government basically, and Steve Garrison interviewed a parliamentary secretary to the minister this morning saying, finally, we're going to invite local input. The question is, how much local input will they get? How many people are up to speed this morning? A lot more people than there used to be, and that's thanks in part to our guest this morning, Frank Clegg, former president of Microsoft Canada, who needs no introduction, who has some feelings on this issue, I am sure. Frank, I appreciate you joining us.
Thank you for the invitation.
Tell me your reaction to what you're hearing from Ottawa. Let me read the first paragraph of the Toronto Star story this morning. Ottawa says it is tightening laws governing construction and placement of new cellular antenna towers to require consultation with communities on all commercial installations, regardless of height. What are they worried about, Frank?
Well, Pete, we've been asking for notification. I think it's really not fair when you could possibly wake up in the morning and somebody could have put a small cell tower right at the end of your street or right at the end of your driveway. So it's always better to be informed. And so I think, you know, it's a good step from the government. And I think the government should be congratulated for stepping up to an issue that we've been asking them to deal with for quite some time now.
Frank, I am so impressed. The phone lines are lighting up already. We have Paul, who has a comment on a cell phone tower, which, Paul, they're putting up near your house.
I can see it from my kitchen window.
Where do you live?
Out in Landworth.
in Glanworth, and they're putting up a microwave tower right now?
Yes, sir.
Did you get a letter in the mail warning you about this?
I got a letter about it, but I never got feedback that I wanted on it.
Did you get a letter saying, Paul, we really want to know how you feel about this?
Anything we got on it, we got nothing back on it, just that it was going up.
Well, now the government, you heard the minister on, the parliamentary secretary to the minister on with Steve Garrison this morning saying, we're going to notify people, we're going to invite input, so I'm sure that's good news for you, Paul.
Well, they're digging the hole right now as we speak. They're plowing through the snow and going back in the woods and putting it up, and if I heard the radio right, something about July was the cutoff or something, so maybe these people get under the wire.
Yeah, it looks like they probably have. They want to have it, the law, in place by this summer, Paul, so it's probably too late for you. Want to just quickly bring on Melissa Chalmers. She's the airline pilot that we talked about. Good morning, Melissa.
Good morning, Andy.
What's your reaction to this story this morning, the fact that Ottawa is actually tightening the regulations when it comes to putting up these towers?
Well, I'm happy to see that they're going to be informing people. It doesn't actually change the process. You still can't not have something installed because of health reasons, or they could still put it on a post out in front of your house.
Let me ask you this, Frank. Mr. Clegg, does this change anything, or is this just politics?
No, it's a good first step, but I think, you know, as Melissa said, but there's a couple more steps that have to be taken, right? All the control is still held at the federal level, so even if you've got, as in Port Frank's, if you've got a local municipality and a council that doesn't want the tower put up, then, you know, in this case, Bell goes to Industry Canada and they overrule the local group. So, but it is, I think we should acknowledge it is a good first step. We'd like to see them allow people and take into account that people don't want these towers near their homes. And I think the other thing that I'm pretty sure, we tried to get confirmation yesterday, but I don't believe that this does anything to do with all these antennas that are being put on apartment buildings and hospitals and schools, like these, when they put it right on the top of the building. I don't believe that that notification will still be provided in those areas. So there is one more loophole to be closed in the notification process, and then we need to have, you know, more input and more value put on the input from citizens and council and local council, whether it's City of Toronto or London or Port Franks or any municipality. And then the third step, as Melissa said, we still need to fix Safety Code 6, which is the overriding regulation that allows how much radiation can come from these antennas. So big first step, two or three huge steps to be taken still to really make Canadians safe.
So what can people do? What, like, to take these steps, where do they need to go? Who do they need to contact?
Well, we have a website set up at c4st.org, and we've actually created two separate pages. There's a page that you can go to. That, and it's right on our homepage. You can just click on the pages that goes right to to the Health Minister, Minister Ambrose, and just encouraging her. We have had a very good initial meeting with a senior policy person in her office, and we're kind of encouraged by that meeting. So it's just encouraging the minister to, you know, she's doing a lot of this with pharmaceutical companies, where she's being more transparent on the testing and the studying that they're doing. So we're asking her to take that same initiative with Safety Code 6. The second thing we set up is a direct email to President Grice of the Royal Society of Canada. We think that whole panel's a joke. We think it's predetermined. They're conflicted. There's panel members there who make hundreds of thousands of dollars payment from the industry. So there's an email format there that you can go on our site and send an email to President Grice and just say, look, nobody's going to pay attention to this panel.
Okay, we only have a couple of moments left. Frank, how are cell phone microwave towers affecting us? How are they affecting our health?
Well, you know, there was a comment made before that it's like a TV. Well, that's not true. These are constantly emitting. A cell tower is by your house 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You have no relief. You have no rest from it. So your body can't rest and recover. So this is microwave radiation. This stuff does impact your cell growth. We've got studies that show cancer can be caused. We've got studies that show if you're a pregnant woman, a study with rats where baby rats came out with ADHD-type symptoms. We've shown sterility. If you're a male, you keep it in your pocket. We're now starting to see a link with breast cancer from women who put their phone in their bra. So there's study after study after study from pure research, and it's.
Are you seeing any success in the schools themselves, where they are going from wireless to wired technologies?
No, there's been a couple. There's a couple out in BC that have done some work, but, you know, the school boards. I'm just very disappointed in the people that are running the school boards. They're just not being open-minded to let us even bring in experts to talk to them. They're just hiding behind Safety Code 6. They don't understand the process behind Safety Code 6. They don't acknowledge it hasn't been changed since 1979. So, no, we've got, as I say, there's two leading schools in B.C., but that's it. We've had no, it's just the school boards are locking us out. They won't even let us talk to the parents.
Wow, that's so sad. Melissa, the last word goes to you. This has affected you personally. You've been driven out of your career. You've been driven out of your home in London. What's the status of your home now, and are you still on the run?
Well, you know, they did put a tower up about a year ago in my neighborhood, and I've been living with that. I've been getting progressively worse, and now it's gotten to the point where I'm actually out of my home about 2 weeks of every month. I'm living half-time down in an area in West Virginia where they have a radio-free zone because of a large radio telescope. And so there's an area about the size of Maryland where there isn't anything like that, or hardly anything.
And we talked about that the last time you were on. You were actually going down there 2 weeks every month?
I am. I'm living in a place down there.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, it's really, my life is pretty well upside down for that, although it does give me a little bit more tolerance when I come back here. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't last.
So that's the only place really in North America where you're free from these signals?
Yeah, that's correct. And that zone only has funding for the next 3 years. So in 3 years, if they can shut it down, and I'm not sure what's going to happen, but I'll take the next 3 years.
We have to go. Melissa, incredible story. We'll have to chat again soon. Frank Clegg, thank you so much for your input. Mm-hmm. And Pamphlet.
Well, I think people should, for more information, if you don't want to be a guinea pig in this mass experiment, visit Frank's website, which is Citizens for Safe Technology. Citizens for Safe Technology.
You have a boot camp coming up.
And I have my nutrition boot camp coming up in February and March. So if people want more information, they can go to my website, which is just my name, pamkilleen.com.
Killeen, K-I-L-L-E-E-N. 11 o'clock news coming up in just a moment. We'll be back on the other side right here on London Today on News Talk 1290 CJBK.